Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Chris Ryan. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Janssen, we have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Sadzi Usmani about the FDA approval of siltacaptagene autoleucel for the treatment of adult patients with a relapsed or refractory multiple myeloma who have received at least one prior line of therapy, including a proteasome inhibitor and a modulatory agent, and who are refractory to lenalidomide. Dr. Usmani is a hematologist-oncologist and chief of the Myeloma Service at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, New York. On April 5th, 2024, the FDA approved the new indication for siltacel based on data from the Phase 3 CARTITUDE-4 trial, which showed that at a median follow-up of 15.9 months, patients treated with the CAR T-cell therapy experienced a median progression-free survival that was not yet reached, compared with 11.8 months for patients given standard-of-care combination regimens. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Usmani detailed the significance of the approval of siltacel for the treatment of select patients with a relapsed refractory multiple myeloma who have received at least one prior line of therapy, expanded on the efficacy and safety data derived from CARTITUDE-4, and explained where the CAR T-cell therapy now fits in the multiple myeloma treatment paradigm. Talking about the approval of siltacel within the treatment of patients with early relapsed refractory multiple myeloma, what is the significance of this approval that now being in earlier line of settings for patients in this population?
One thing that we have to recognize is the accessibility of CAR T-cell therapy as it stands currently, as well as the capacity at transplant cellular therapy centers. Also appreciate the fact that, you know, we do have some triplet regimen options for patients in that early relapse setting. Having said all that, I think for the patients who are becoming functionally high risk, who did not have a good first progression-free survival period or even a second progression-free survival period, I think, you know, siltacel would be a very good option for those kind of patients. We saw this in the CARTITUDE-2 small cohorts. The phase 3, you know, certainly validates things in that fashion. Having those conversations, you know, with the patients is going to be important. The other important piece is for patients who do choose siltacel as an option, you know, they do have a lot of drug-free period after they've recovered from the CAR T. So I think, you know, there are so many advantages. But, you know, we have to, you know, present those options with the caveat that logistics will be an issue.
Obviously, CARTITUDE-4 were the data that supported the new drug application for siltacel in this indication. What was the rationale and the design of CARTITUDE-4 trying to, you know, move this agent up into an earlier setting for these patients?
Patients had 1 to 3 prior lines of treatment. They were randomized to either Dara-Pom-Dex or Pom-Bortezomib-Dexamethasone, a standard of care regimen arm, compared to siltacel as the intervention. And the primary endpoint for the study was progression-free survival, and it was met in favor of siltacel, where the median PFS has not been reached in the experimental arm, and in the standard of care arm, it's about a year. And the hazard ratio was quite impressive, you know, as well for this clinical trial. And as expected, you know, cytokine release syndrome and infection, those kind of, you know, issues were observed with siltacel. But, you know, the study met its primary endpoint. And for that whole population, I think the data were quite impressive. The pre-specified subgroup analyses, including, you know, high-risk patients, you know, higher burden of disease, those groups also benefited. And that is, you know, my personal key takeaway, because that's the group, I think, you know, where I personally think that an intervention like siltacel would have the most impact.
Definitely. And then kind of building off those efficacy data, obviously the FDA's Oncologic Drugs Advisory Committee met to discuss this potential approval in this indication. From that meeting, and obviously they voted in favor of the benefit-risk profile of the agent for this indication, just what were kind of your key takeaways from the data they discussed regarding the overall survival in the first 10 months of CARTITUDE-4?
The key issue that the FDA wanted to make sure the ODAC was comfortable with, you know, in terms of a regulatory approval, was the early deaths that were observed during that period when patients got randomized to siltacel, but then they had their cells collected. Manufacturing takes 6 to 8 weeks. So during that time, patients were on bridging therapy with one of these triplet regimens that the standard of care patients were getting. But there was some imbalance, I think 7 versus 1 patient, during that period who died from the disease, and these were progressive disease. So they were concerned, is this in any way connected to cilta-cel? And it clearly, isn't, and just highlights the heterogeneity we have in the disease and the aggressive nature of those events, progression events. So that was very clearly stated in the whole discussion and alleviated some of the concerns that the panel had. And the OS signal, is actually favoring cilta-cel even after those events. They haven't gained statistical significance, to satisfy the FDA, but clearly, that signal is not, worse in the cilta-cel arm. It's actually, those curves look to be better in the cilta arm. So the key takeaway was there was, more assurance, I guess, for physicians. We heard a lot of patient voices about having this option available for them and allowing them to have those discussions with their physicians at the opportune time during the course of their disease. That was kind of the gist of the ODAC. And, it was a unanimous decision in favor of the safety profile, the benefit profile being favorable for cilta-cel.
Just based on the known safety profile of cilta-cel and what's been seen in CARTITUDE-4, would there be any patients or any subgroups of patients that you might hesitate to use the agent in due to adverse effects? Or how would you view the safety profile in terms of, its use in this setting?
I would think about the infection risk and the disease biology and pace of the disease as the determining factors, and patient preference for having a continuous therapy triplet being given versus getting, cilta-cel as an option.
With cilta-cel now moving up into an earlier setting, just where do you see it, fitting into the paradigm for multiple myeloma treatment, and just, how could it, stack up with the current standard of care in these different lines that are currently available?
Yeah, I think that this would be an, discussion with patients specifically for that, functional high risk or, lenalidomide refractory patient population. I personally would feel that cilta-cel would play an important role for that functional high-risk patient population who are having an early relapse within the first 2 years of diagnosis. That group tends to include patients who already have documented high-risk disease, as well as standard-risk patients, who may have had high-risk clones sitting outside of the pelvic bone, and that was not part of their early, diagnostic workup, but that clone survives, it proliferates and comes back to lead to disease relapse. I think that's where we will see cilta being more often used.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Janssen. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive. And follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.